This fall, our friends at G&J Auto are giving away free window tints every Wednesday. That's today throughout football season. Get registered to win at fanrunradio.com/tint. That's fanrunradio.com/TINT. And listen to Fan Run Radio all season long, of course. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. Free window tint Wednesdays. It's courtesy of G&J Auto Graphics. You can see all of their services online at gnjauto.com. That's gnjauto.com for all your car care needs. They can help you out with it. gnjauto.com. And don't forget, go to fanrunradio.com/tint to register to win a free window tint.
Free?
It is our number three on Three and Out. The SEC announced the 2023 schedules. Obviously, everybody knew what teams they were going to play, I guess. This is more the order and how it works with the non-conference schedules and your opponents and all that jazz. Tennessee, of course, opening in Nissan Stadium, Nashville, Tennessee, Saturday, September 2nd, against the Virginia Cavaliers.
1-0.
How are they doing this year?
Bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know that, or are you just guessing? That means you're guessing.
Let me look. No, it's bad. It's bad.
Are you sure?
Let's see.
I think they're like less than a single-digit favorite. Oh, no. Yeah, sorry. Last weekend they
were 2-1.
Yeah, but they're not good.
I mean, name one player on their team.
I mean, I know that they only beat Old Dominion by 2 points, but Old Dominion did beat Virginia Tech, I'm pretty sure.
They did.
It's a really good FCS team.
Illinois waxed them.
Illinois is not bad.
Yeah, it's still Illinois.
They are at Syracuse Friday night, 7 p.m. Did you watch the Syracuse-Purdue game?
Mm-mm. Was it wild?
That was exciting. Yeah, it was a great game.
I heard Purdue lost on a bad call.
Well,
feel terrible for them.
They lost, but I don't think it was a bad call. I think they scored the go-ahead touchdown and then got two personal fouls after, so they were kicking off from their own 10, and then Virginia throws a amazing touchdown with 7 seconds to go and ends up winning the game.
Hate that for them.
Didn't break my heart. But, yes, Tennessee will open in Nissan Stadium against Virginia.
Hickman has us winning that one.
Then Austin Peay.
That should be a dub.
Then September 16th, the Vols travel to Gainesville, Florida.
I do like it.
Mighty Gators.
I do like it that we play somebody with a pulse before Florida. I can remember those years where we go into the Florida game having only played a team like Austin Peay, and you have no idea if Tennessee's going to show up or not, if they're good or not. Sometimes they get off to a bad start against Florida, and you'd be like, God, we suck. But they actually didn't suck. They just, in the swamp, sometimes got off to a bad start. You know, it's nice to have, the Pitt game this year, Virginia next year.
Well, and don't forget, next year Florida opens at Utah.
Yeah.
That's Saturday, September 2nd.
The difference is the Kentucky game for them now is later.
Later, yes. After Florida, this one I really don't like.
Yeah.
UTSA in week 4.
That's University.
Texas San Antonio. And that is a program that has come from literally nothing to they scared the pants off of Texas last week.
They're the Roadrunners.
And they run.
They beat Houston in triple overtime to start the season. Houston was in the top 25 when they did that. They then went to Army, won in overtime. Sorry, they lost to Houston, triple overtime.
Mm.
Then they beat Army in overtime. They lost at Texas 41-20.
That was a game for a while, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they've got a pulse. They're not – I mean, last year they went 12-2 overall. They were 8-1 in Conference USA. They went on the road and beat Illinois to start the season, 37-30. They rattled off – what was this? 11 straight wins to start the season. Then they lost at North Texas. They won the Conference USA championship game over Western Kentucky and then lost a bowl game against San Diego State.
Not a bad little test before you really get into the meat of your SEC schedule. Week 5, South Carolina comes to town. A little earlier than it has been for South Carolina, September 30th.
You like that? Or you like having them later?
I don't know. Who does South Carolina play before that game?
feel like they have – their schedule just moves around a ton. I feel like I even – and look at this for 2023. South Carolina opens with North Carolina, Furman, at Georgia, Mississippi State, and then at Tennessee.
So Mississippi State.
Their bye week comes right after Tennessee, so that's a great spot to play them.
Mm-hmm. Well, our bye week comes right after South Carolina. So Tennessee gets a bye week after South Carolina before hosting, which is weird that you have back-to-back home games and a bye week in between.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just, I don't know, I don't really like that. Feels like they could have backed it up one, but maybe not. We'll see. Texas A&M, October 14th, comes to Knoxville. Can Jimbo Fisher find a quarterback?
Yeah, and are all those recruits going to be
primed, you know, and ready,
developed and ready to roll, or is it kind of dysfunctional and they're going to be, they're kind of going to be like Mark Richt, Georgia, where it's like, well, they got a lot of stars, but we can't really score many points efficiently.
I guess it kind of depends on how this season goes.
Yep.
Daniel says they A&M plays Alabama the week before us.
I like it. Okay. So they'll host Alabama.
Like the reverse of this year, right? We play Alabama the week.
We play
after they play.
They play
Alabama.
Yeah. Because they play. Mm-hmm. The week we play LSU, they play Alabama.
All right.
Hmm.
Then the trip to Tuscaloosa.
October 21st at Alabama. Then October 28th at Kentucky.
I don't like that.
I don't like
that's
that.
That's the worst part of the schedule.
I don't like that 3-game stretch.
Having to go to Kentucky after a road trip at Alabama.
Yeah, that just seems...
I'd rather go at Kentucky after the bye, then A&M at home, then
yes.
go to Alabama.
Yes. That seems like a...
Back half is good, though. UConn at home, lick your wounds, travel to Missouri, then back at home for Georgia, and then Vanderbilt to wrap up the season staying at home.
7 home games and a neutral game in state.
That's a good point.
Not bad. It's 8 games in the state of Tennessee, then at Florida, at Missouri, at Kentucky, at Alabama. Not a lot of travel being
just
stacked up.
Kentucky scare you next year? They'll have no Levis, no Rodriguez.
I have no idea what they'll have. They might be good. They might absolutely stink. We'll see.
But, of course, we're replacing people, too.
Yeah, we got a lot to work on ourselves, too.
Yeah, it's just the worst spot of the schedule. I don't know.
Yeah.
Daniel already has the week before opponents pulled up, so thank you for that.
How hype will you guys get before that Virginia game next year to kick off the season?
How does this year go?
Yeah.
Even if this year is good, I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty hyped off season. Probably more hype than we were coming into this year. But I'm just, you take a game that would be a pretty big game in Neyland Stadium to kick off your campaign, because I'd imagine you're probably going to start the season ranked. You got the Nico hype. You might have like Joe Milton, the new and improved version, coming in slinging it next year. And you take a game against a team that's been decent over the last couple of years, and you move it 2.5 hours away from your campus.
It's the first game of the year. It doesn't matter who you're playing. People will be hyped. Doesn't matter where. Doesn't matter who.
Because like I wasn't a big fan of the Bowling Green game when we played them at Nissan Stadium.
Did you go?
No.
I heard people actually enjoyed it except for the weather delay, which not much anyone can do about that.
The game that would worry me about people being excited about would be that UTSA game.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think if you go down and beat Florida, it
could be
another Akron situation.
Yeah, if you're undefeated, people will be pumped. But if you have a loss, the first three, it just balloon deflates. That's the thing about the later season non-conference games. If you're having a great season, people will show up to
mm-hmm.
see a great
mm-hmm.
team. But if you're not, I mean, like, Lord help you if you aren't having a great year and UConn comes in November and it's, like, rainy and cold, you know, like, no crowd. Not that necessarily even matters, but.
I'm guessing that'd be homecoming, though, right? Usually a pretty decent crowd for homecoming.
I guess so. It's not a bad schedule. I feel like we're not getting, like, it's not like we're getting screwed or anything. This could be it, though. We're staring at the last, like, 1992 style, or I don't know.
Whenever they went to 12.
I guess when Missouri and A&M came in, I guess whenever that year that was. The last version of that schedule. History.
11 or 12, I think.
History just passing us by.
It's what it does, typically.
Yeah.
It's hard to live in history.
We're going to beat Florida's ass Saturday. We're going to go down the swamp and embarrass them next year, and then they're going to change the schedule where we only get to play them once every other year.
That would be us.
Billy Napier's gonna be fired after 3 years and bring in some other guy who's terrible, and we only, it's like, well, Florida's an automatic win, but we only play them every other year now.
We finally get the upper hand against Florida.
Yeah.
And they got nothing. And they're gonna play them once.
They give us Georgia every year, you know, instead or something. We got Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, no bueno. Oh, well.
Tennessee, we're going to let you play Georgia, Alabama, and to create kind of that new rivalry that already kind of started a little bit before, Oklahoma. We think those three teams will really set you guys up.
With Texas rotating every other year.
Yeah, with the great schedule. Everybody else would, yeah.
And then
I kid.
Yeah, but then maybe, you know, 12-team playoff, we can still take care of business every couple years. Get in there. Right? All right, guys?
We got to start positioning people right to get on the committee that – do us a solid.
I just think, though, Chris, if the season ended now in 2025 or 2026, you're in.
It's a great way to segue into waiver picks for the playoffs.
I feel
up.
Pretty good about it.
Do you know who you'd be playing?
Not off the top of my head.
Oklahoma.
Ooh, I like that. The Josh Heupel Bowl.
Against all our former players.
See?
That suck.
Man, we have their
former player as a head coach. They have all of our former players.
You're gonna have some rematches, which will be cool, I think. You know, it's been a long time since we got good rematch in college football.
That's a good point. I mean, you get some in championship games
like
from time to time.
Florida State played and like played like 2 weeks later.
Yep.
Or not 2 games later, I guess.
That's when old Stevie put in the shotgun.
Yeah.
To try to keep Werfel off the ground.
Might have been his best coaching job ever. Won the Natty.
Spurrier. Guest picker. Yeah.
Don't
even joke like that. It's really not funny.
You could do worse. I mean, at least he's funny.
I don't know. He's a Gator. This is our game day.
Okay.
You go to a wedding and wear white, wouldn't you? You punk.
I do not wear white at weddings, no.
But you would.
No.
All right.
We said worst guest picker. That might be it.
Yeah, it probably would
be. I mean, there's a lot of embarrassing ones that we could, you know, just throw out there, you know. Greg Schiano, but Steve Spurrier would be the worst.
He's busy taking Rutgers to new heights.
Oh, yeah, good point. We'll come back. We'll make some waiver picks, playoffs, Big Orange Philly phone lines, closing shop. Might have one more caller there. Not sure. I think we do, right? Yeah, we'll get right to the phone lines on the flip side and then make these waiver picks after that. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Apparently I said Old Dominion was FCS. Actually, I did. I don't know. They have been in my head. They used to be a long time ago. First year in the Sun Belt now, and they have beaten Virginia Tech. Pretty good football team.
That dial turns up our headphones, too. Not just yours. Yeah.
I like things a little louder.
I do, too.
I know. I have to... mess with
but
your
that
mic
was, but that was about
running.
To blow us out.
Like Neyland Stadium this weekend.
Blow it away.
Louder.
That's right. We're just prepping.
Yeah.
Hickman's just getting our ears ready for the chaos.
Getting all set. All right. Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got Matthew up next. What's up, Matthew? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, fellas. How we doing today? Happy Wednesday.
Great. Happy Wednesday. A happy Wednesday indeed.
Do you guys ever just go back when you're getting anxious for games and rewatch some of the key wins, like last night I watched 2016 Florida because, you know, what better way to spend a Tuesday night?
Yep.
Absolutely. Usually I pull them up on YouTube so I can fast forward through the short stuff. And I don't know. It gets you in the zone. It's a big one this weekend, Matthew.
It is. And that's why I reached out to a buddy of ours that I was close with through my time at Tennessee. And he played on the defensive side of the ball. And we were just chatting on FaceTime asking about some of the stuff, and it was just remarkable to kind of hear his insight to like what went down and like what went wrong during the Butch era. And we actually got sidetracked here, and this is why I called in. We were comparing this year's team position by position and certain players of the who would you rather have. And the key mark, and I'll hang up and let y'all kind of dissect this, was the quarterback position. And I teased it last night in our group chat, but would you rather have Josh Dobbs leading your offense or Hendon Hooker? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I think, I know people disagree with this. I'll take Josh Dobbs if Josh Heupel's my coach. I know people say Hendon Hooker throws it better, but I think Dobbs was pretty special, and I think we got kind of screwed out of his best by some incompetent coaching at times. A lot of times, actually.
That's a serious hitting
question. It's just so tough to know, right? I mean, you saw so many times where the ball wasn't quite where it needed to be, but we also know that he had, I think, a different quarterback's coach every year he was here. And Heupel, while the system is important, fundamentals, footwork, delivery for the quarterback is important. So it's possible that with Josh Dobbs, he molds him into maybe a better running version of what Hendon Hooker is now.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on what I saw, it's really tough to say. I might go Hooker just because I think he is a better passer. But it's hard. I mean, if Dobbs had 2 years, 3 years, 4 years in this system under Heupel, it's hard to say he might not be. I mean, that guy's in the NFL still.
I'm sticking with Hooker.
That's a really tough. I feel like the other positions are a lot easier. Like running back, it's not even close. You're taking that running back room.
Oh yeah, and I feel like there's a greater chance that Josh Dobbs tries to force something in a window that he probably shouldn't late in the game that might cost you.
It felt like normally he threw bad picks in overtime. When I mean, you kind of had to have him in overtime, so I guess I get it. But that's one thing that. I mean, if you go back, like Hooker has not thrown one of those interceptions where you're just like, what are you doing? It was a great play by Pitt. The safety rolled back over the top and undercut that pass to, was that Jacob Warren, who was open? The pick against Bama, it looked like the receivers and him weren't on the same page. I mean, he throws it to a spot, and the Bama defensive back's just sitting there, and our receivers cut the wheel route up the field. I'm trying to remember the other. Did he throw one against Florida? No, he threw one in back-to-back games. It was Bama and – this is crazy that he's thrown three picks and I can't remember them. It was Pitt, Bama. What was the other one?
Georgia?
Yes, I believe it was Georgia. And it was the same type of thing. It was just –
yeah, it was Georgia because I actually rewatched that game last night.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But, yeah, it's like he throws it to a spot, and either the receiver and him aren't on the same page or Georgia disguised the coverage. It's not one of those, like Anthony Richardson's interception against South Florida when he's bouncing around in the pocket and then throws it off his right leg to the sidearm and just throws it right to the linebacker's chest. Like, none of his interceptions have reminded you of Jarrett Garantano.
I think a lot of that has to do with the system, though. And
I do, too.
Josh Dobbs playing in that system.
I think it's possible that it's a safer system. Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that.
I mean, a lot of people will be shocked to know this, but Josh Dobbs passed for more yards than Hendon Hooker did last year in 2016.
Yeah, but
I don't.
Hooker was also, I mean, pretty much has six quarters less of football.
What was the difference?
Oh, it's almost identical, like 3 yards or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But I think if you ask people – in their gut, they'd be like, oh, no, I mean, this offense, there you throw the ball a lot more. So Josh Dobbs in the crappy Butch Jones offense threw for more yards than Hendon Hooker did last year. That just surprises me.
Well, what was the completion difference?
Dobbs was 63% and Hooker was 69%.
And how many total completions?
I'm sorry, 68%.
How many total completions?
So 206 for Hooker and 205.
Huh.
No, I'm sorry. I read the wrong year for Dobbs there. It was 225 for Dobbs.
Okay.
So it was a little more. Obviously, the yards per attempt a little higher about a yard more for Hendon Hooker.
24 touchdowns for Dobbs through the air?
27 touchdowns.
12 picks. It's just insane. I mean, like
31-3. Obviously.
12 picks in like the pantheon of college football. Like, that's not a crazy number. If you're throwing a pick a game, have a bad game, you throw two, then take a game off, don't throw one. For Hooker to throw three picks all of last year. What's he at now? 42-2? since becoming the starter.
Right, so they're eliminating that one in the pit game.
Right, that's fine. And I'm guessing he did not throw a touchdown in that game. No, he did, didn't he? He threw that one to Callaway. So it's 44-3 touchdown to interception ratio as a quarterback at Tennessee. I know he threw the one to Callaway. Did he also throw the one to?
Says Hooker's only thrown 36 touchdowns total for Tennessee. 31-3, and then 5-0 this year.
Okay. So did Peter Burns get his stat wrong?
I guess so.
That's counting his rushing touchdowns. Hooker threw
two against Pitt in 21. One to Warren, I think.
Yeah.
So it should be like 34
Warren and Callaway.
Two.
Yep.
If you have to eliminate the Pitt touchdowns and pick.
Mm.
Yeah, he counted rushing touchdowns too.
There you go.
There you go. That's okay, that makes sense. And he did not have a rushing touchdown against Pitt, I don't believe.
Okay. No, I mean, it's a fun exercise, but that's why it's so important, like, who you recruit to go with what system, you know? Like, I don't know. Maybe Josh Dobbs would try to operate Josh Heupel's offense and wouldn't be very good. Maybe Hendon Hooker and any other offense would not be nearly as good. Maybe he's kind of a system guy. It's very hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hendon Hooker obviously wasn't good enough for Virginia Tech to, like, have Virginia Tech humming and stay there. But he gets in this system, and he's a different player.
Yeah, obviously, that's great if you're a Tennessee fan. It means, hey, we can take a pretty good quarterback and make him into, I mean, the guy's what, seventh or eighth right now in Heisman odds? I mean, I know it's early, but I mean, just look at last year and this year, like his numbers are really impressive. I guess my question is, how much can the system elevate a three-star and how much can it elevate a guy like, say, Nico when he gets here? Is it going to be that much better or is it like the system's kind of the system? And as long as you're a certain level of good, you're going to, you know, turn out a lot of production and be fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good question. It's kind of like watching Mississippi State on Saturday. Like, was Will Rogers not a good enough quarterback, or could their receiver, like, would it not even matter? Because their receivers could not get open the second half against LSU. Like, the system couldn't, or even the talent at other positions. And that's at least a thing that Tennessee has going for them. It seems like we've got a ton of recruiting momentum, or I guess stuff to sell at the wide receiver position. Obviously, that's key, because when guys aren't open, you need guys to go up and make plays. That'll be a big talking point in this ball game on Saturday. All right, final phone call. Let's go back and get Roberto on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. What's up, Berto?
Man, what a fun exercise comparing to that 2016 team. But, man, that 2016 team, they were littered with NFL players.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable when you look back at it. I mean, our backfield was Alvin Kamara and John Kelly and Josh Dobbs, all guys who didn't just get a cup of coffee in the league. Like, they're impact players. You know, obviously Dobbs. I think Dobbs would be just as good as anybody Cleveland has right now, but whatever.
I mean, he is still the number two in Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. Okay.
They're going to turn him into
a coach.
And he
should be the number one. They're abysmal. At least give somebody else a chance.
But, yeah, it was weird late in that game when all offseason you heard, yeah, we're going with Jacoby Brissett. He doesn't turn the football over. He doesn't turn the football over. He doesn't turn the football over. They're in field goal range. And he tries to force one downfield and throws the pick, and then they lose to the Jets.
Over.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
And then Jimmy Haslam gets just pelted with a full gallon of beer. Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. That's like the least non-story since old what's-his-fudge Kyler Murray getting slapped by accident. I watched that video, too. That's just so stupid. That's just, we don't have anything better to talk about, so we're going to make something up.
Haslam got hit on the hand with an empty water bottle and basically ruined a fan's life. Unbelievable.
Yep. Well, you can thank him for the Arspire NIL deal starting to fire back up, though. You can do that.
Well, then I will. And that fan can take... You shouldn't be throwing stuff then, buddy. Team Haslam here.
Yeah. That 16 team, I don't want to talk about it too much. I mean, Malone was there. Don't sleep on Josh Smith. Josh Smith would play significant minutes for this university.
No, he was a really good college football player.
Everybody craps on him because he went to my alma mater, CAK, and he's a white kid from Knoxville. That guy's athletic, and he got a cup of coffee with the Saints a couple of times in the offseason.
Juwan Jennings is the starting three for the 49ers right now. Yeah, I mean, it's that team had talent.
Stacked. that team would beat this team, but not with the coaches. This team would beat that team, but that team would beat this team if coaching wasn't the issue. It was coaching.
Mm-hmm. 100%. No, I agree.
So, and Josh Dobbs in this offense would be great. The only player from Tennessee history I want to see in this offense is Heath Shuler, period, in a sentence.
Yep. Be fun.
Back to Nate. I didn't mean to correct you too much there. I apologize if you were offended by that.
I protect my
gun belt. I love the gun belt. The fun belt is where football is being played right now. If I don't watch SEC, I'm watching the fun belt. And I think I'm going to go to the Coastal game in a couple of weeks. That should be a lot of fun when Tennessee's off week happens. I'll be at the beach anyways.
Perfect.
But this Saturday, getting back to more pertinent things, and I know you're up against it, I just don't see how Tennessee loses. Like, I just don't. I'm trying to talk myself into a loss, guys. I've been doing it for a week. Head tells the heart, not heart telling the head. It's wild. Like, we should not lose this game. If we lose this game, we are set up. If we go out on Saturday and we crush Florida, we go out and crush Florida, we're going to have stack on stack on stack of 5 and 4 stars in the house. Watching that happen, it's going to be nuts in there. Okay? They're going to want to come. Don't ever kid yourself. When we started throwing stuff on the field for Ole Miss, those recruits loved it. I've told you that 100 times, and I'll stand by that. And that is why 3 of those guys that were there, that were high-level recruits, ended up committing and coming to Tennessee. Okay? 2, I think that Tennessee is set up to really become the second-best team in the East for a long time if we crush Florida. It's not – it just – guys, the recruiting setup, the Spire stuff is starting to line up again because Danny, the plumber, was told to get the hell out of the way by Daddy Haslam, and that's how that goes, okay? He got read the riot act. That's factual, gentlemen. And I think we just have a coach. That's the difference. Guys, we have the best in-game football coach, head coach, excuse me, at the University of Tennessee since King Johnny, and I'll leave you with that.
Hmm. King Heupel. All right, good stuff, boys. Appreciate it. Yep. Just hit a quick timeout. We'll be right back.
I don't know what to do with that.
We're going to kill Florida. Like,
He said if we...
We
killed
said
him.
If, but then before that, he said there's no way.
He said in his mind there's no way we should lose.
Okay.
Or maybe could lose. Maybe should.
It was very optimistic for a Wednesday.
That's okay. We allow optimism other times.
That's true.
Not on Mondays, though.
Whatever. You guys were, like, hysterical Monday.
I wasn't. Brett was.
No, you two both entered into hysteria.
I'm not mad about it.
I got the perfect analogy for that.
Tell us about it when we come back.
Okay, I'll try not to forget.
All right. Hour 3 continues. And next week, when Tennessee is off, some pretty interesting games. Kentucky at Ole Miss got the noon game, ESPN.
Oh, Kentucky fans were so mad that no one cares about your game. But we're a top 10 team. Why are we hosting Ole Miss at noon? This should be a night game. 3:30 CBS.
Aren't they at Ole Miss?
Oh, maybe they are. I thought it was at home for some reason.
Yeah, it's at Vaught Hemingway Stadium.
Where nobody shows up.
Yeah. There and UCLA.
Good God. Their home opener was awful.
It was pretty bad.
That's embarrassing. Coming off a 10-win season with Lane Kiffin as your coach, and that we sell out Akron.
Were they on the road at Georgia Tech?
On the road at Georgia Tech.
Come to the SIP.
No one went to the SIP for the game. No one.
They got players. Their running backs are good.
Not in the sense of, like, I hate our guys, I'd trade them, but, like, this offense with that group of running backs would be Filthy. How did you get all three?
I don't know.
God.
Alabama at Arkansas is a 3:30 CBS game. Arkansas got to get by A&M this week to.
What's the line on that game?
Undefeated.
A&M 1.5, maybe.
What?
Never know what's gonna happen.
Is that another sucker bet?
A&M's playing at Mississippi State next week too, so that'll be another fun kind of middle of the SEC game. And LSU's at Auburn for a night game at 7:00. Of course, that's the week before they play us, so I'll be definitely seeing how they're playing. In that one, you also have NC State at Clemson, which could be a big undefeated matchup.
That's next week.
Yeah,
Clemson has Wake this week.
Of course,
yeah,
next
it's a big game for me.
Oklahoma State and also travels to Baylor next week as well. So keep those in mind as you make your waiver selections.
Oh, we're doing that now?
Yeah, we've been teasing it for an hour.
I wasn't prepared.
I mean, the waiver, you got a minute. The waiver order is Brett up first. Then myself, then you, and then Adam.
Okay.
Brett's teams are Ohio State, Baylor, Miami, Wake Forest. Will you be making a move, Brett? Yeah, Miami. They went down.
Baylor went down the week before?
Yeah.
To a BYU team who got slapped around by Oregon. I mean, slapped around.
Tried to tell you guys. One of my gambling picks actually nailed.
I don't remember you trying to tell us.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I was like, people thought BYU would handle Baylor because Baylor's not that good this year. They barely won. Oregon's gonna beat them. Handily, and they did.
I don't remember the handily part. I think you're adding that in after the fact.
I think I'm just staying put. I'm just gonna keep rolling with what I got. I don't like any of the changes I can make.
That's fair.
Okay.
So.
All right.
That's fair.
Intern Brett stays put. He's got Ohio State looking good, Baylor, Miami, and Wake Forest. Wake Forest wins this week. Watch out. Chris, you have Alabama, USC.
Wait, you're up.
Wait, I'm up?
Yeah, I think you were next.
I am next.
Nope. I mean, I'm going to go. I'm feeling good about it.
Mm.
You gave me my choice because you have decided to stay put.
I might. I have Georgia looking good. Utah, who I've just held on to, because, I mean, somebody's got to win the Pac-12, right?
Yeah.
Arkansas,
I didn't know you already had the team I was going to think about picking up.
Arkansas and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's 9th. Arkansas's 10th. There's no one really ranked ahead of them, but obviously, I mean, Arkansas's got some tough games coming up. I'm going to stay put. All right, Chris, who you want?
You're going to stay put, huh?
Stay put.
Well,
Penn State are the top teams available.
Who?
NC State, Penn State, Oregon, Ole Miss. Those are the top teams available.
Could NC State run the table? I just don't know if they have the offense. Dang it.
They've got UConn this week, then at Clemson, Florida State at home, at Syracuse.
All right, I'm going to do it.
And they play Wake Forest as well.
Yeah.
I've got a move to make, and I'm going to make it.
Okay.
If for no other reason than the fact that this team should continue to climb in the top 25, and they've got a long way to go, a lot of nice tune-up games before they play a big one, I, of course, will be dropping the idiots at BYU because they had to go undefeated to make it. They just absolutely had to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to drop BYU.
Yep.
And I'm going to add.
Don't.
You're going to do it.
A team that has made the college football playoff before, who is 3-0, who just took down Michigan State. I will take the Washington Huskies.
Who have a
very easy schedule until they get the game at Oregon. I wish it was at home, but it is at Oregon. They avoid Southern Cal until a potential Pac-12/10/whatever they are now. Championship game, I will take the Huskies and their first-year head coach.
Can't wait to make my trip over there in 2030.
If you think that game is still getting played, you are a moron.
They do have to go on the road at Oregon later in the season. And it's Stanford at home coming up. And then at UCLA, I think that's a
that'll be in
Friday
front of
night game. Thursday night game.
At UCLA, no crowd noise. I love it.
Yeah.
That Husky offense is going to – they'll be barking at each other. Easy.
Roof.
All right. We already know what Hickman's doing.
Who are my teams?
It's a Friday night game.
Who are your teams?
Yeah, read them to me.
Oh, you don't have it pulled up?
No.
Clemson.
Yep.
Kentucky. Michigan.
Yep.
Tennessee.
Okay, cool.
Those are pretty
good. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Four in the top 11.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Is NC State's with Brett, right?
No.
No, they're available.
So they're the highest.
Penn State's available.
Unclaimed. Nobody has Arkansas, do they?
Nate has Arkansas.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But of course you do.
That's a very Nate Hodges pick right there.
What? Really?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, I don't have Alabama, so I feel like just keeping one other SEC West team.
I'm going to go. Hey, Chris, could you read me my teams again?
Clemson, Kentucky, Michigan, Tennessee.
I'm going to drop Kentucky.
Why did you even pick them up then?
Jinx, but it didn't work.
It didn't work. Okay.
And I'm going to pick up Penn State.
Ooh. I thought about Penn State. It has a weird feeling that the Big Ten starts to kind of pick themselves off.
They got to play Michigan and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win both, they're in.
Yeah, sure.
Who would they get then? Who's going to lead the other division? Wisconsin?
Yeah, probably.
Actually, didn't Wisconsin get beat by a team they were not supposed
they
to
lost,
lose to?
Yeah, they lost.
They're playing Ohio State this weekend.
Same weekend A&M lost to App and all that. I forget who it was.
Who's another team in that division who might have a chance?
It's usually Iowa and Wisconsin.
Iowa's still undefeated, aren't they?
No, they lost to Matt Campbell.
Yeah, they lost 10-7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, no one's going to touch Iowa.
I could have picked up Iowa State.
There are going to be defenses, multiple, across college football who scored more points this year than the Iowa offense. That is – what did they win this last week? I mean, I know there were a bunch of rain delays. Did it end 7-3?
I don't know.
They're terrible, man. They're so bad. And I think they changed up their offense in the offseason. Like, oh, yeah, we got our new secret plan. Nope, no, you don't.
How about Rutgers being undefeated? I think that's who Iowa has this week.
That'll be a bummer.
Maybe.
I'm not surprised. They haven't played anyone, though, right?
Okay, so Iowa has won 7-3 over South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 7-10 to Iowa State. And then won this past weekend 27-0.
Oh, 27. Wow.
Over Nevada.
Wow.
And they travel to Piscataway, New Jersey, this weekend for a matchup with child sex abuse enabler, Greg Schiano.
Allegedly.
And the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
The Iowa 7.5-point favorite, which seems like a mile of a line for this game.
I wouldn't be shocked if Minnesota wins that division, as you know, with a terrible record like all
that's
of
fair.
Them.
That's fair.
They're undefeated. Yep. They play. They're at Michigan State this week. So
don't they have an easy schedule? Oh, they do get Michigan State this week. Okay.
Big Minnesota fans here.
They killed Colorado last week, 49-7. Colorado stickers really, everywhere. Really bad.
We have more Minnesota stuff in this room than we do Tennessee stuff.
Row the boat.
Whoa.
What? You okay over there?
The John Ward picture's gone.
What? Oh no!
Just now realize that.
Oh, no.
Final segment.
Nate, I don't know if you're like, whatever. That's kind of a big deal.
What could have happened to it?
I mean, I have a guess.
Oh, no.
Y'all keep stalling for like 7 more seconds.
Okay. Well, there's some work done. Maybe it just got placed somewhere.
All right, I'm good. I'm ready.
If that got thrown away, oh, my God.
Final segment of the program. Ball calls tonight?
Yep.
All right.
Will we learn anything?
Nope.
We might get some humor out of
nope.
it.
Nope.
Hey, Coach, this is Carly from Vanderbilt. I just wanted to say, give mail. Go, Vols.
Thank you for waiting 5 hours on hold, Carly, for giving us that one.
How many Tillman questions?
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, they normally try to screen them, so hopefully they're like, I wanted to ask about Tillman.
Maybe Kessling will just get it out of the way.
Yeah, maybe one guy say when he called in and just trashed Pruitt?
To his face, basically.
Well, yeah, what did he say?
I can't remember, but it was like, that was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, Coach. What are you teaching these boys in there? Well, we have a system. Yikes. Well, Nate, we're done with Wednesday's show, just about.
Mm-hmm.
From Monday to now, where are you at? Are you Brett? Are you... I don't know. Who's the biggest neg of all right now? Who's out there saying we got no shot?
Nah.
That's the scary thing.
Billy Williford.
No one's saying that.
Yeah, I know.
Feeling a little better, a little worse, about the same?
Than Monday?
Yeah.
I guess a little, just a smidge worse, because on Monday when we started the show, I don't think I had wrapped my head around how much the injuries on our offense might impact. I mean, it sounds like the Tillman news isn't, I mean, he's going to be limited at best, out at worst.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, our running backs, I mean, that's still a big question mark, you know? We have not proven that we can run the ball against a, like, real SEC defense in a big game.
In fairness, they are the worst SEC defense against the run outside of – who did I say? Was it Missouri?
Missouri's always been the worst, at least in the last 3 years.
They're the second worst rush defense in the NFL, in the SEC.
Yeah. They're still Florida. I guess I got a mental block there, you know?
It's okay. I totally understand it.
You know,
some people will be like, oh, Nate, no, you can't have it. No, I totally understand.
And they gashed Utah for, you know, 283 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that was Anthony Richardson.
Who hasn't been running as much, yep.
And now we've got kind of a blueprint from Kentucky. We can just copy their plan if we want. Although you think Florida's been trying to get better against those looks that Kentucky gave them. Especially because watching the game, it looked pretty simple to me. Like, they just drop everybody in zone, make Anthony Richardson have to throw into windows. Kind of what you do to JG. But the only added wrinkle there is you got to make sure you don't take off and run.
How good do we feel about our linebackers in zone coverage?
Not great. Not great.
Okay.
But Anthony Richardson may be worse. I mean, I feel like our guys have gotten a little better as the season's gone on, maybe. I don't know. Tough to tell when you've only played one real opponent. That's my big worry, though. It's the same thing it was against Pitt that, you know, like, I don't know how our line play will be on each side against theirs.
Mm-hmm. It's fair.
And are we going to make crucial mistakes, or are we going to play clean?
Here's a question for you. Is it possible that they make all the crucial mistakes? They've been pretty mistake hang on.
We are 19th against the run. That's their strength.
It's like really all they can do.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, too terrible.
Can we not? Can we punch some balls out like Banks did near the goal line against that one dude? Can we tip some passes?
I don't think that ball
third down
was
defense
punched
has been
out.
Good.
Hmm. I think it was just a massive collision.
No, he threw it. He threw his shoulder in there. Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean he shouldered that football and it went had a mind of its own and just bounced around.
Ooh.
What now? Oh no, we're laid out. Way to go, Hickman. Nice job. These are the mental mistakes that we can't have.
No
if
mental
we want to beat Florida.
It's Florida week, Chris. What
can
do you
we
want
get
me
that?
To do?
Exactly, but it doesn't matter. That's the thing. I'm supposed to run a go route. I'll just turn it into a dig. Pick six. Gators lead 7-0 because Hickman decided it's Florida week. I was distracted. What are you doing?
I think I'm Florida in this scenario.
Wednesday's the bottom. Now we're climbing. We're gonna be gaining on it.
It's all about the climb.
Start tomorrow, Friday. Get a peak perfectly at about 3:20 on Saturday.
Oh God! I just caught another mistake I made.
Heads are falling off.
Oh boy, this kid.
The blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.